Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We just watched the Nashville Predators go back home and look completely different against a dominant team with a superstar or two, with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And they looked like they were plugged into the socket. I mean, going back home changed everything for the Preds. And I felt like that would happen. And I don't feel like that will happen for games 3 and games 4 in Cleveland. And that's a bummer. Because whether you're rooting for the Warriors or not, whether you're rooting against LeBron or not, it would be nice to have a competitive NBA Finals with all of these expectations and all of this attention and all of this anticipation. If before the season we said, we want the trilogy, we want part 3, we want Cavs-Warriors, and we sacrificed any drama in the regular season, and we sacrificed any drama in the first or second round of the playoffs, and we sacrificed any theater, any interest in the conference finals to get here, and now there's not even any drama here, that would really suck. That would suck eggs hard. That would be really worst case scenario. I am hoping that the Cavaliers can do it and come back home and at least like last year, get 1 of 2 to force a game 5 back at Oracle. I mean, I don't think they'll get swept. But I also don't think that this is the same situation as what it was last year. That has been a common refrain. So what? This is exactly where we were after last year. 2 blowout wins by the Warriors. Look, number one, the Warriors aren't coughing up a 3-1 series lead again. Number two, they're not losing a Game 7 at home in the NBA Finals again. Number three, they're just better than last year because of Kevin Durant. Way better. Had this been the same exact Warriors team against this Cavaliers team, I would say, yeah, 2-0 doesn't necessarily matter. 2-0 doesn't matter because we have yet to have a road team win. And until that happens, it's not a series. That's the old adage. Not a series until a home team loses, road team wins. But I don't feel that way. Because last year, the Golden State Warriors may have won 73 games, but they could be beat. They were down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. They could be beat. This year, I don't feel like they can. And that's really what is the bummer out of the Kevin Durant thing. I can't tell Kevin Durant how to live his life. I think it's ridiculous to do so. I can't judge his decision based on whatever personal wants or desires he had. Kevin Durant may have made the most logical, sensible, reasonable decision, saying, I made a lot of money in my life. I don't need any more money. How much more money do I need? I could take a pay cut and go somewhere else. And at Golden State, you know what? I like California. Or that's a pretty cool area of the country with the tech advancements in Silicon Valley and everything that they've got going on there. Or he could say, you know what? They've got a great culture at Golden State. The Warriors players really love one another. You know what? That GM's really smart. He drafted Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and hired Steve Kerr. You know what? I like Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr seems to be a really awesome head coach. Seems like they got a really positive working environment. And you know what? Yeah, these superstars coming to me saying, we will sacrifice for you. We want you. And I really want to win. I really want to be a champion. And yes, maybe this is the easiest road to get there. But you know what? That's not so terrible. Because I want to win right now. Because I've been in this league for a decade and I haven't won. And so I want to win right now. And I'm going to win right now with these guys. And maybe all of those reasons make complete sense in his mind. And so thus, I can't judge him. I can simply say from a basketball fan standpoint, this is lame. It's lame because from a basketball fan standpoint, what we hearken back to is the battles, the drama, the moments where there's the most pressure, the most intensity, and somebody rose to the challenge. The Cavaliers championship would have meant a lot no matter what. But it means so much more because we will remember LeBron James' block. We will remember the final possession with Kevin Love playing defense on Steph Curry. We will remember the moments down 3-1 that LeBron had to elevate that entire team. We will remember Kyrie's shot because they weren't 20-point blowouts. If the Warriors win every game by 20, we won't remember the specific moment. It'll just be this kind of overall general greatness, which of course has to be appreciated. But for a fan, that's not necessarily fun unless you're a Warriors fan. Michael Jordan, we remember what? The scoop shot against the Lakers. We remember finally getting past the Pistons. We remember turning around and shaking his head. How am I hitting all these threes against Portland? I don't even know. We remember the shot against Utah, the flu game. These are moments of drama and theater because the outcomes were not decided. Those are the moments. Nobody ever harkens back to a 25-point blowout win that Michael had. And LeBron has now had his moments. And Larry had his moments. I mean, Larry's steal against the Pistons and Isaiah is the moment. Magic Skyhook, baby Skyhook against the Celtics is the moment. We don't remember 30-point blowouts. So that's what's lame about this, is that Kevin Durant had a situation where he was creating moments. I mean, him and Russell Westbrook against the Warriors, that was an incredible battle. Up 3-1, losing it all, Klay Thompson's crazy game. Those were moments that we remember. And Durant had an engine that could beat the Warriors. But the Warriors could be beat. The Warriors could be beat by the Cavaliers. They could be beat by the Thunder. They could have been beat as that was constituted by a healthy Spurs team. They could be beat. Kevin Durant then joined the Warriors, and they can't be beat. And so there is just kind of an underlying hollowness in that. Because what are we going to remember? Yeah, I mean, they won 67 games. That was cool. And they didn't lose the playoffs. That was crazy. And, like, they kind of never had a game. That was nuts. We might remember simply that Kawhi Leonard got injured. I mean, that might be the most memorable moment, that Kawhi's ankle got stepped on by Zaza. I mean, yeah, Steph Curry dancing around LeBron and, you know, Kevin Durant's tomahawk jam. But when you win by 20 or 30 points and it feels like nobody's in that stratosphere, I'm sorry, you have sacrificed those memories, those moments that we all hearken back to. And so that's what this is. This is going to be an NBA playoff that lack all memories. You're going to remember, yeah, I mean, remember that time that they didn't lose? But there's not going to be a moment in there unless we have a close game. And I thought the Preds could do it, down 2-0 coming back home. I just don't think the Cavs can. I think they can get one of the two. I just don't think they get both. I think that's how dominant right now the Warriors are. Elsewhere in Ohio, college basketball-wise, stunning news yesterday that Ohio State is cutting bait with Thad Matta. I mean, Thad's been one of the most successful coaches that program has ever had. And I guess I kind of get why they did it. They've missed the tournament for a couple of years, and recruiting is kind of down. And I think Thad Matta's want, his desire because of the surgeries, because of the injuries, because of his health, has waned a little bit. But I also say careful what you wish for, because, man, Thad Matta won a lot. He won a lot there. I mean, I think it was 5 Big Ten regular season titles and 5 or 6 Big Ten tournament titles. Thad Matta has been a marvel of consistency there. And I just always think when you got a good thing going in college athletics specifically, everybody wants to make this quick change to turn it around and to win now. And you've got to be careful about that. He won the Big Ten tournament 4 times, the Big Ten regular season 5 times, and went to 2 Final Fours. Is the next head coach at Ohio State going to go to a pair of Final Fours? Is he going to recruit guys like Mike Conley and Greg Oden? I know that Thad's program hasn't been good the last 2 years and might not be good this year, but are you willing to throw out everything that he did over more than a decade just so that you avoid this next year that's bad? Do you think that the next guy can have 13 years like Thad Matta did? I heard this and I said, if Thad Matta needs to walk away because of health, I understand that. If his heart's not completely in it because of health, I understand that. If he feels like my message might not be coming through anymore, I can understand that. But if you're doing this simply because you think your next guy is going to be better, careful what you wish for. Now, it's a good job. You've got good high school basketball in the area. Obviously, you got a big fat check coming in for the Big Ten Network. And you've won there before, recently. I mean, they were in the Final Four as recently as 2012. If I'm Ohio State, there's one big name on my list. Chris Mack, Xavier. Chris Mack is the most underrated coach in all of college basketball. He has taken Xavier to 7 NCAA tournaments and 4 Sweet 16s. The guy has taken Xavier to 4 Sweet 16s. He's just down the road in Cincinnati. I'm looking at Chris Mack and going, how can I get you here? And also, by the way, Thad Matta was the last Xavier head coach as well that made that transition, and it turned out pretty well. I saw the list from my buddy Pete Thamel at SI.com. Sean Miller, Arizona, I don't think he would leave there for Ohio State. Shaka Smart at Texas. Again, I don't think he would leave Texas for Ohio State. Greg Marshall at Wichita State, too combustible. I don't think Ohio State wants to deal with that. Big programs are worried about Greg Marshall, his wife, the drama. Mick Cronin at Cincinnati makes sense. Again, down the road, in-state, know the recruiting trail well there. But to me, Chris Mack is a superior coach to Mick Cronin. Chris Holtman at Butler is very interesting as well. You know, Holtman has taken that program and in the Big East and been very, very good with that. And he's got that Midwestern tie, the Midwestern roots as well. But it's very easy for me. If you're going to fire Thad Matta, you better be able to get Chris Mack, because Mack should be your number one target, and you've got to be careful what you wish for there. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, the Houston Astros are ridiculously hot right now, and they prove that you can roster build like in the NBA, and it works in Major League Baseball. I'll tell you how next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
I'll take that. Can that be my sound effect for the show?
Yeah, sure.
Sick.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can always listen to the show when you want to listen to the show by downloading full segments, full interviews, full hours, full shows on iTunes. And if you're outside of your normal listening area, or maybe your local affiliate is not picking us up, that's okay. Download the CBS Sports app to listen to us on the live stream, or the TuneIn app, or the Radio.com app, or there's Apple Music as well.
Electronically ignorant.
I know, there's just a lot of different ways that you can listen to the show, or you can watch it as well on your phone, watchda.com.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
It has nothing to do with that. Nothing. The Houston Astros are the best team in baseball right now by a long shot. They are 42-16. Have they won 11 in a row now? They're 42-16. Away from home, they're 22-6. They're outrageous. They are so outrageous. And it seems weird because most of America could not name a Houston Astros player. And this doesn't feel like the Yankees or the Red Sox when there was an arms race. This doesn't feel even like last year's Cubs team, because the Cubs had some ready-made superstars ready to go. Joe Maddon's kind of a celebrity manager. Theo Epstein, obviously, a celebrity general manager. The Houston Astros don't have that. Who knows who their manager is? Who knows who their general manager is? Who knows who any of these players are? And they're on pace for the greatest record in baseball history for a 162-game season, which is what that 0-1 Mariners team did, 116 wins, right? Now, we're only in early June, so who knows, but the Astros are likely going to win more than 100 games. And they are the best-kept secret in baseball because they're monsters. Monsters. And have some total MVP-type candidates. And you might be asking yourself, well, how the hell did the Houston Astros become? I mean, if the Houston Astros win 116 games this year and the World Series, they will have to be considered as one of the greatest baseball teams of all time. I mean, really? And you'll say, how did we ever get here with the Astros? And I'll tell you, they tanked. The Houston Astros purposefully tanked. You might not remember this because they were really bad, but the Astros, when they got new ownership, this was probably 7 years ago or so, said, all right, we're not going to try to win. We're not spending any money on veterans. We're not trying to be pseudo-competitive. We're trying to lose with the dirt cheapest roster in all of baseball, and we'll draft high. They were Sam Hinkie before Sam Hinkie. They said, we need talent, and we need to lose for the best talent. And we will spend money in the draft, but we will not spend money anywhere else. And this was what the front office told the new owner. Hey, if you want to win, the key is not signing a 35-year-old veteran. It's not overspending on somebody else's talent. If you want to win and we want to win long term, we've got to lose and lose now and lose a lot. And so for three straight years, they won less than 57 games. In 2011, they went 56-106. 2012, 55-107. 2013, 51-111. And one of those seasons, Mraz, I think it was the 2013 season, when we were doing the overnights, remember we had a bet before the season doing over-unders? And the over-under for the Astros that year was like 98 losses or 101 losses. And me, you, and Brock were betting whether they would go over 101 losses.
You're right. That was crazy.
And we just knew that it was the easiest money going. It was like 101 losses. Oh, they're going to lose 105, 110. They lost 111 games that year. And that was only 2013. But we were like, this is the easiest money in Vegas, because people go, oh, how can you bet on a team losing 103 games? We were like, no. This team's that bad. Like, their payroll was like $27 million. So they had three straight years of losing the most in baseball. They were the worst team in baseball. They had all these high draft picks, and they nailed them. And then they started growing. And in 2014, they won 70 games. And in 2015, they won 86 games and went to the playoffs. They had that one-game playoff against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium and won it. And then last year was supposed to be the year they kind of got over the hump, and they didn't. They missed the playoffs. They only won 84 games. But the point is, in 2011, they made the declaration, if we want to win the World Series in 2017 or 2018 or 2019, we've got to lose and lose bad right now. We've got to be terrible. They were the NBA's version of tanking, or MLB's version of tanking. And it doesn't really happen in baseball because there's not the one guy that you can draft like a LeBron that changes your whole world. You've basically got to lose for a while to get a couple of those guys. It's kind of what Theo did in Chicago as well. Tear it down, lose, and we got to nail our draft picks really high in the draft. And for that reason, the Astros don't have the superstars maybe that Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, but they have unbelievable talent that is still really young, and they're going to be great for a long time. I mean, Carlos Correa is outrageous. Jose Altuve, obviously very good. Dallas Keuchel, excellent. I mean, go up and down their roster, they drafted a lot of guys really high that have now ended up paying major, major dividends. I mean, George Springer, crazy good. And they've kind of supplemented it with a couple of veterans now because they're ready to win now. But just when you look at the Astros and you can't recognize any names outside of Carlos Beltran, realize they tore it down and they tanked on purpose and it worked. And they're awesome now. Speaking of baseball, there's this baseball minor league promotion that's getting a lot of attention, Hourglass Night. And apparently this one team, minor league baseball, is going to trot out smoking hot chicks with hourglass figures and have them do intermission reports on the Jumbotron, and you're going to be able to take pictures with them and all of that jazz. Okay, this is from the Dodgers rookie league team, the Ogden Raptors in Utah. I think this is Utah. And the Stars Talent Studio of Salt Lake City will provide a different stunner each half inning. They will be hosting the Billings Mustangs, but the, quote, real thoroughbreds, according to the memo, will join the Ogden Raptors broadcaster. Yeah, there's another Raptors, amazingly. And they said, since August is the eighth month of the calendar year, and an eight looks tantalizingly similar to an hourglass, is there a better way to remind the world that baseball needs no clock than to feature 18 hourglass-shaped color commentators? So, you're going to be watching minor league baseball with a bunch of guys you've never heard of, but at least there's going to be hot chicks in the stands. And obviously, people are up in arms going crazy. How can you do this? This is so misogynistic. This is so sexist. This is so ridiculous. This is so disrespectful. And, I mean, look, would I describe beautiful women as thoroughbreds? No, that feels a little weird. But
she's a bad girl, David.
I don't mind this. If for one thing, you got to have some hot dudes over there as well for the chicks in attendance. Because I know this. If I told my girlfriend, and she's a decent sports fan, she's not hugely into baseball, but she loves college basketball and she loves basketball in general. If I said, we're going to go to the game and they got a big promotion, there's going to be a ton of hot chicks in the stands, she'd be like, well, that's not fun for me, so I don't really want to go. And then she'd be like, that's sexist, that's ridiculous. But if I said, it's going to be like hot person night, and every half inning there's going to be a really hot dude that's up there in a tank top as well, she'd be like, all right, that sounds not bad. You know, that's all you got to do here. If I said, look, every half inning there's going to be Zac Efron in a tank top, she'd be like, you know, I'm in on that. And it would totally make it even. You just got to make sure that there's something for the chicks as well. And we've got a lot of female sports listeners. I know a lot of awesome female sports fans. You just can't act like everybody at the ballpark is a dude with their tongue hanging out. There are dudes with tongues hanging out. But there are also women with tongues hanging out, okay?
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
So if the Ogden rappers just didn't want to deal with the obvious outcry of sexism, just make it even. Just make it equal. All right? Who's Magic Mike? Who's that guy?
That's not Shaquille O'Neal. What's his name?
Shaquille O'Neal.
What? Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. Right. I knew it was
very easily confused.
Now, if I'm trying to drag my girlfriend to a baseball game, she's like, it's slow. I don't really need to go there. I don't really want to go there. I don't know anybody in attendance. I don't know anybody that's playing. If I go Channing Tatum lookalike night at the game, she'd be like, I'm in. Sounds great. And I say, they're going to all be dancing like Magic Mike. She'd be like, I am so in. I will buy the tickets and I'll buy the beer. So you just got to make this thing even. Ogden Raptors.
The real thoroughbreds?
The real...
I mean, that's the...
What are you doing?
That's the linchpin. And really, no one thought, as they're writing this and sending it out, this is a horrible idea and will blow up in their face?
Unless they're kind of purposefully doing that to get attention because they're a rookie league baseball team?
Okay.
Would Mrs. Bogus come out, though, if there were Zac Efron and Channing Tatum lookalikes?
Ewan McGregor, maybe?
Ewan McGregor
lookalike.
Yeah,
look-alike. She's a little... Mrs. Okay. Bogus is not 19, so... I think Zac Efron's a little too young. It's skewing a little too young for her. Ewan McGregor. Maybe I could convince Matthew McConaughey lookalike night, I think, is another possibility.
She'd be in on that.
Yeah, I think so. She also likes beer. They have that games too, so.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's really big.
Yeah.
Mirage, Danielle, what lookalike would have to be out there to get Danielle out to a minor league baseball game? Yeah, Mr. Six.
We did this on the show, Chris Brown.
Oh, that's right. She's a Chris Brown fan.
Still?
Yes.
She's so trashy.
That's what you're saying that about your wife.
Yes, exactly.
to get our significant others out to a minor league baseball game, if there was a Ewan McGregor lookalike night, a Chris Brown night, or a Channing Tatum Magic Mike night, we could definitely get the girls out for minor league, rookie league baseball.
Yeah. Please ask Pete.
You got one for us, Pete?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure we'll get her out there.
Okay.
Maybe the Magic Mike angle.
Magic, okay.
You know. No one, Pete, would be like Hulkamania night for her.
Yeah. That would be for me.
Is Triple H going to be there?
Yeah. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to helping you get back on the road fast. Their highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals will help you find the parts you need to get the job done right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. You know, this Seahawks passing on Colin Kaepernick story is going to get a lot of attention today. And I understand why, because Colin Kaepernick is obviously a lightning rod. Them signing Austin Davis feels ridiculous when they actually brought in Colin Kaepernick. And here's the one question I have for the Seahawks. If this was at all about not wanting to push the competition on Russell Westbrook, protecting Wilson from some type of quarterback controversy, which some have suggested, well, then why even bring in Kaepernick in the first place? I mean, you know what Colin Kaepernick is. You know what type of star he has. You know what type of celebrity he has. You know what type of attention he gets. You know that he's been in a Super Bowl before. You know that at his peak he looked like maybe the next generation of what quarterbacks would look like. You understand what he's all about. So to bring him in and talk to him and have these conversations and then suddenly say, you know what, we want to protect Russell Wilson so we don't want to bring him in, that doesn't seem very logical, which makes me believe that it's as Doug Baldwin says, there's money involved here, that perhaps Kaepernick doesn't want to play for the veterans minimum because he realizes that the longer he waits, the more desperate a team will be, especially after an injury, and will be willing to spend more money on him than just the veteran's minimum. So I think that people that are talking about the national anthem stuff and all of that and blackballed, it might not be about that in this case. It might just simply be finances with the Seattle Seahawks. Because you could get Austin Davis for a lot cheaper, I would imagine, than Colin Kaepernick right now. Let's get to your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
So the NFL Network does its top 100 players every year, and it's always funny to me when things like this make news. J.J. Watt was voted as the 35th best player of the NFL. And when I read the headline that J.J. Watt calls the top 100 list a joke after he was ranked 35th, my immediate sense was, oh, he thinks he's better than that. J.J. Watt, this huge ego. Watt always loves the attention, always loves the celebrity. The J.J. Watt is like, come on, I'm 35th, man? How could you do that? You know, if I was healthy, I'm way better than that. But I got to take it back. I give J.J. Watt credit. He tweeted, I played 3 games. This list is a joke. So he's saying I shouldn't be listed as high as 35th. Now, I think we all know that J.J. Watt, when healthy, is way better than the 35th best player in the league. He'd be in your top 10. But that's what kind of makes this ranking silly. Either he's number 8 on this list or number 6 on this list or something like that, because when he's healthy, we know how great he can be, or he's not on the list. But you can't be 35th. Like, what? He was a top 35 player for 3 games? You know? That doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, the list doesn't make much sense, and I always find it funny that anybody would think that it means something. I guess maybe some players take it seriously. I don't know many other people that do take it seriously. But if you play in 3 games, you either got to say, throw out the fact that he was injured the entire season, he's this good, or because he was injured the entire season, he can't be on the list.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You know, my last name, Amendolara, is a mouthful for a lot of people. It's Italian. It's got a lot of syllables and a lot of vowels, which is why I just go by D.A. But this next golfer might even top me in terms of difficult last names. Michael Buttacavoli? Does that sound right? Buttacavoli? That sounds like some type of pastry you would get down in Little Italy.
It's funny because when I put this story in the topic list, I went and listened to videos so that when you asked me this question, I'd have the answer. And guess what I have for you right now?
Yeah.
Not an answer.
Because?
I've heard 3 different pronunciations. I believe the one I said on was Buttacavoli.
Buttacavoli.
Yes.
But what's some of the other ones?
I heard Buttacavoli.
Buttacavoli.
And there was something else like a Buttacavoli.
Okay. Well, this Buttacavoli could not compete to try to win a spot at the 2017 U.S. Open at Erin Hills. Because when he was going to Florida at the Jupiter Hills Golf Club, there's 6 open slots. He was one of 50 golfers competing for those 6 open slots. American Airlines lost his golf bag. He tweeted, thank you, American Air. 1 golf bag with priority tags on a plane and the only bag you can't find. Unfortunately, I have to withdraw from the U.S. Open golf sectionals. Now, Buttacavoli may not have any chance anyway because he is ranked 1,644th in the world. But he also said that because he spent a ton of time looking for his bag, that he also didn't have the time to rent other golf clubs. Somebody asked him, why didn't you just go with rentals? He said, I searched for my bag and filed a missing bag report. I wouldn't have made it by then. I leave tomorrow for the Dominican Republic for the next event on the PGA Tour Latin America, and I need clubs. So here's the question. If you're Buttacavoli, Buttacavoli there, Buttacavoli everywhere. Is he being lame? Is he being a diva by not just renting clubs? I got to say, it's the U.S. Open. You're trying to make the U.S. Open. Rent freaking clubs, right? I mean, do you have to spend the entire day searching for the clubs with the bag check?
Just rent the clubs. Like, I would go to a mini golf course and rent the putter, right? You can't rent whatever you can rent at the course. Let's go here.
Hey, what do you know? Barakavoli needs his clubs, all right, Obi?
And he's saying he has to get to the Dominican Republic the next day. Well, how do you know your clubs are getting there?
Hey, don't question the Barakavoli.
So basically, he's just Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
Hey, Karen! Where's my clubs, Karen? You're supposed to have my clubs, Karen! Barakavoli's coming over. Have the pasta on, Karen!
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You flush the drugs, Karen! I'm trying to make the U.S. Open! You lost the clubs? All right, that is your cut line of the morning. Frank in the 209 tweets, coming in 2018 to theaters everywhere, Magic Shack, produced by Mraz. We were just laughing in the commercial break. I say, who's Magic Mike again? Mraz goes, oh, I know this. It's not Shaquille O'Neal. No, it's definitely not Shaquille O'Neal. That's the one thing I can say for certain. I forgot the actor's name, but I know it's not Shaq Diesel. I think you're getting Magic Mike and Shaq Fu mixed up.
Kazam?
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm not talking about the 7'1", 350-pound huge black guy. No, I'm actually talking about the like 5'11", really chiseled white guy from 21 Jump Street. You know, I know that you can get those two guys mixed up.
Flipped in my brain.
Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, no. Channing Tatum. Right. But close. Very. Like, what? Close. All right. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And what is this?
This is you like Jody Nash, the woman that was left behind in the track.
Yeah, Jody Nash. I'm all right. I'm on turn two, Mom. I could get down with Jody Nash.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I appreciate Jody Nash, and here's why. I am going to turn 38 at the end of the month.
Boy, here last
week. Jody, I mean, you got to be careful there. Jody. With the, You can't curse on the, we're live on the radio. You can't do that, all right? So be very.
Oh, you don't have a bleeper.
And I have now hit that point in everybody's life that you get to where more of your friends can't come out than can. Now, I still like to have a good time and have a really good Friday night, have a really good Saturday night, sometimes have both.
I'm hanging. Turn two.
You know, I really still enjoy that part of my life.
I was down around somewhere, turn two, when I started out. I swear that's where I was.
And my girlfriend's usually really good about that, although she doesn't need certainly as much as I do in terms of that, you know, going out and having a good time and going to see people and whatnot. But I am now in the realm where if I had 10 friends I used to be able to call or text to go out, now I got two.
And I really didn't want my mom to know.
Because 8 inevitably can't come out. They got kids, they're married, work, and all that.
Who's the responsible party here?
I'm guessing it wasn't you, Jody, huh?
Not me. You can ask my mom. I ain't responsible for bleach.
So I just really appreciate Jody Nash because I feel like I could always text Jody Nash for the rest of my life and be like, you want to go out, have a beer, watch the game? And she would always be like, I'm down.
No, I have no regrets. They say you regret what you didn't do. Mm. Not what you did.
I'm in. I'm down. Now, I'm sure I would have to be like, okay, Jody, I'm going to have 5 beers. Can you not have 15 beers?
Let's go to Looking Back Texas, Willie and Jody and the boys.
Can we go beer for beer, not 3-for-1?
Yeah.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
So that is Jody Nash, the woman that was left behind at the Charlotte Motor Speedway that we talked about the other day. That was caught on camera. The television station did a whole story about her, and she was just left behind the track by her friends because I assume she was way too drunk to wake up. And then they just said, let's just leave her. Jody's being a little bit too Jody. Jody's doing Jody right now. Jody's being Jody. We were talking before about that minor league baseball stadium promotion, and Jarrett tweets in, how about a Bradley Cooper lookalike night? Look, that would work for a lot of the gals as well. That's what I'm saying. You can get away with saying we're going to trot out hot chicks here at the baseball game, so dudes, come and check it out, as long as it's equal opportunity. So you got to have some good-looking guys out there as well for the women. Again, there's just as many huge sports fans, female-wise, as male-wise. You just got to make sure you market them both. As long as you do that, you can be as raunchy as you want. So Bradley Cooper night? Yeah, let's get my girlfriend out to a game that I usually can't get her out to. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, your digital broadcast producer today. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We are back at it tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.